I'm Marco Werman, and it's The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. When you think about the way wars are fought around the globe, things have changed a lot over the past century. But here's a milestone that proves that not everything has changed. Today is the 100th anniversary of the first deadly use of chemical weapons in World War I. But here's the thing, that same gas they used back in 1915 is still the one most in use today, chlorine gas. It's being used by ISIS in Iraq and by ISIS and allegedly the government in Syria. The World's One Man History Desk, Chris Wolf, has been looking back and looking forward. Let's start with what happened 100 years ago today, Chris.
All right, Marco, let me set the scene briefly. World War I was still less than a year old, but already it was stalemated on the Western Front. For 400 miles from the seacoast in Belgium down all the way through France to the border with Switzerland, millions of men were just stuck, heavily entrenched. And the Germans decided to try and break that stalemate by using a new and terrifying weapon, poison gas. This was exactly 100 years ago today, about 5:30 in the evening. 168 tons of chlorine gas was released from cylinders, and it took out about 6,000 French troops. And when I say French, they're actually mostly Algerians and Moroccans who are in French service, and created this massive 4 or 5 mile hole in the front.
So this was chlorine gas. Tell us how it actually affects the human body.
Chlorine is, we're all familiar with it. We use it in the kitchen. We smell it in swimming pools. We taste it in bad hotel water all the time. It's that very distinctive smell. When released as a gas, it has a particular yellow-greenish color, which gives it its name. Chloros is the Greek word for green, so it's this greenish-yellow gas. Mm. And it's obviously a very useful disinfectant, but also very deadly to the human body. The most readable description of what it does to you is actually from a DOD hand, a Pentagon handout. Chlorine gas is irritating and corrosive to the airways, eyes, and skin. Low levels can cause sore throat, coughing, eye, and skin irritation, while higher levels can cause burning of the eyes and skin, nausea, temporary blindness, difficulty breathing, chest pain, and at high enough levels, chlorine gas can cause immediate collapse and death.
So a century ago today, that must have been really terrifying, and all of this chlorine gas dumped out on the battlefield.
Absolutely. There's a historian at the UK's Imperial War Museum, Ian Kikuchi, who says it best.
Gas is a psychological weapon, far in excess of actually its physical casualty-causing qualities. Gas is an impersonal, spectral, poisonous thing. It conjures up images of ghouls and ghosts and spirits and otherworldly supernatural terror.
That's a historian, but we can also hear some voices of British veterans who were gassed later in the war, recorded in the BBC archives some decades ago.
The bank was absolutely covered with bodies of gassed men. Must have been over 1,000 of them.
The thing was that there was no gas mask then, you see.
Our eyes were streaming with water and with pain.
Well, anyone who's watched Downton Abbey knows the stories of the men who returned from the war and just the horrors that they saw with these gas attacks. So then what happens? The eyes are streaming with water and with pain, as that man said. What happens to these soldiers?
Well, many of them died, but many of them were just incapacitated and out of the war. As I said, 6,000 casualties in that first attack. But the response was incredible. A senior British medical officer figured out very quickly that it was chlorine, a gas that could be blocked if you simply had a pad over your mouth and nose, which would minimize the damage. So they just reached out immediately to some nuns in a convent nearby, and ladies in Paris were commissioned to like sew these things together. And they were actually being delivered to the front 48 hours after the first attack. Meanwhile, the guys at the front were figuring out their own solutions. Some officers were smart enough to realize it was poison gas and decided to tell their troops to get out of the trenches and run through the cloud. That way they minimized their exposure to it, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
And others
very quick thinking.
Just ordered them to put on handkerchiefs and sometimes soak them in their own urine because the urea in the urine can actually negate the chemical effects of the chlorine gas. And these kind of solutions, soon the people were getting gas masks, meant that chemical weapons were never actually so effective again in the course of the war.
But chlorine gas itself, I mean, this being the centenary of chemical weapons being used, how has it evolved? Is it being used today?
Chlorine gas is indeed in use still today, and it's being used by ISIS. They're sticking it into IEDs so that when the bomb goes off, you not only destroy a vehicle, you're also poisoning survivors. And this is a problem for us, Marco, some terrorism experts and chemical weapons experts with first-hand experience. For example, there's a British guy, Hamish de Breton Gordon, who was a former British military chemical weapons expert, now offers advice. And he was just in Syria where he spoke to doctors who had to deal with this, and he was advising them on ways to cope. And his concern is that all the people who've come from the US and from Europe are learning these skills.
These people will eventually come back, and by the extensive use of chlorine that we've seen in Iraq, I think it is fair to assume that a lot of the fighters have been trained in these skills. Therefore, there is a chance that they will try and replicate this in places like the UK and the US.
So there is a chance that they might come back, Marco. But on a more positive note, he says that because chlorine, while it's easy to obtain and easy to deploy, it's not very effective. It disperses quickly. It's hard to get enough of it to cause a lot of damage.
The World's Chris Wolf, 100 years since the first use of chemical weapons, a kind of dubious anniversary, but thank you anyway for telling us about it.
You're welcome, Marco.